Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, brand new Perek, the 8th Perek of Maseches Bechoros, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah, around 10 lines off the top. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Bechor Lo Nachlo, Veinoi Bechor Lo Koyin. So there are two basic categories of firstborns. One relates to the mother, Peta Rechem, one who opened the womb first, her firstborn, and that is classified as a Bechor regarding Kohen. So it's subject to the Pidyon HaBen, you have to switch it for 5 coins with the Kohen. Then we have something called Bechor L'Nachla, the father's firstborn. So if it's his first, then that firstborn is entitled to Pishnayim, double portion of his inheritance from this father. So, two general classes, two categories of Bechor. The mother is a Bechor, that's called Bechor L'Kohen, with respect to the obligation of Pidyon HaBen with a Kohen. Then we have Bechor L'Nachla, firstborn regarding inheritance, and that relates to the father's first. Now sometimes they come together. He's a Bechor for both purposes. Okay, so you can have Bechor for Kohen and not Nachla. Nachla and not Kohen. Sometimes both together, some none. So let's see. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Bechor la Nachla. You can have a Bechor regarding Nachla purposes, who is not going to be Veinu Bechor la Kohen regarding Kohen purposes. You can have the exact opposite. A fellow who is a Bechor la Kohen because he's his mother's first, but Veinu Bechor la Nachla not regarding his father and the inheritance, entitlement. You have one who has both labels, Bechor la Nachla l'Kohen, and one who has none. V'yesh she'enu Bechor la Nachla l'Kohen. So getting back to that first type, Ezeo Bechor la Nachla, Veinu Bechor l'Kohen, which is a Bechor for Nachla, but not for Kohen. Here goes. So we're going to have a total of 5 examples of this type of Bechor. L'Nachla, but not L'Kohen. The first one is Habo Achar Nefalim. So the mother was carrying twins. It so happens that one of them was full term, 9-month fetus, viable. The other one was lagging behind, wasn't a full-term fetus. Okay? He's running on under a different time clock. So, it so happens that the unviable one, the nafel, emerged first, and then came out, the healthy one. Okay, so that second one, the healthy one, followed, he was haba achar, he came after the nafalim. The unviable one. Ava pi shiyotza reishe chai. The Bach takes out ava pi es. Haba achar nefalim shiyotza reishe chai. So again, the unviable, the miscarriage, his head emerged alive at that time. And then he re-entered the mother and out came the full term healthy baby. So he was haba achar nefalim shiyotza reishe chai. So what's his status? Status is that he is considered a bechor regarding the father. Reishe is oinai. It's the father's first. We learn oinai, Rashi says, is misha leiv aviv doiva olav imes. Rashi around 10 lines from the top. It's based on the Gemara and Baba Basra. Oinai means distressed. His father would mourn, lo yaleinu, if this healthy child, something would happen to him. Something which he wouldn't do if it was an unviable, miscarriage. So this is really the first successful child, so to speak. So he gains that status of Reishis Oinai, the father's first expression of strength. It's his father's first product, which is the simple meaning of the pasuk. Reishis Oinai. As opposed to the first one, who never really had a chance to survive. He's not considered Reishis Oinai. But that first one, despite the fact that he was unviable, since his head came out alive, he is considered Peter Rechem. He opened the mother's womb first. So although he's not really subject to the Pidin HaBen process because he's not viable, but it exempts the second one. It preempts the second one from gaining that status. So you have an interesting case. You don't really have a Pidin HaBen in this case. Not on the first, because he's unviable. Not on the second, because he missed his opportunity. He took slot number two regarding Peter Rechem, which was only the first one. So he lost that status, but he's still Reishis Oinai regarding double inheritance entitlement. Okay, so here's the first example of a Bechor L'Nachlo and not Bechor L'Koyin. Another variation of this case would be Uben Tisha Shiyotza Reishis Meis. So again, we have two. The mother's carrying two. And the first one was a Ben Tisha, full term, but unfortunately he died and his head emerged mace, lifeless. And then comes the second one. So again, the father is not distressed about the first one, never really had a chance. In which case, the second one gets that Reishis Oinai slot, but regarding Pidin HaBen, none. None have that status. Because the first one was unviable, and the second one is no longer Peter Rechem. He didn't open the womb. So he only has that Bechor status vis-a-vis the father, not vis-a-vis the mother. Third case, Ha'apelas Kemin Behe Mechai Va'if. A woman miscarried to some strange formation. It was something that looked like a Behema, Chaya, Va'if. So the next child later on is considered Reishis Oinai, because the father doesn't really relate to the non-human, you know, looking offspring that didn't really make it, right? In which case, the second one achieves the status of Reishis Oinai, but again, he's not Peter Rechem, which happened the first time around. Dibra Meir. So according to Meir, the first Behem Machai V'Oif type of formation is considered the Peter Rechem, in which case it exempts the next one. Chacham Amrim, no. We don't reckon with a Tzura of Behem Machai V'Oif regarding Peter Rechem. Achi Hei V'Mitzuras Adam, unless he looks like a human. If he doesn't, then we just discount him completely. And whatever comes next, the next child, the proper child, he has that label of Peter Rechem. Next example, Ampelel Sandal. She discharged a glob of vasar, of flesh, which appeared like a sandal, like a kind of fish or something. Oishilyo, an embryonic sac, which is assumed to have had a fetus. Oishafir merukam, some sort of skin formation which appears like, resembles an offspring. Oishimachutach, or she gave birth in peace in chunks. They had to cut the baby as he was being taken out. Once again, the child that follows all these experiences is not Peter Rechem, which already happened. Rather, he's only Bechor L'Nachla, but not regarding Koyin. The fifth and final example of a Bechor L'Nachla, not L'Koyin. So the man had no children. This is his first. But he married a woman who already gave birth. Even if that happened oida shivcha, when she was still a maidservant, not completely a yid, now she's free, new status. Or she had that child when she was a guy, and now she converted. And mishabos liyisrael yolda, she gave birth once. She achieved. She attained the status of a full-fledged, full-scale yisrael. Nevertheless, since she had prior birthing experience, this next child is a Bechor L'Nachla only, since he's the first to his father, but not Veina Bechor L'Koyin, because he's not the first to his mother. Rabbi Saglili disagrees. He says, when did she have that child? during her previous life when she was a goy, we don't reckon with that. But basically, the Aymer, this newcomer, which is her first Jewish-born child, Bechor lo nachal u'la koyin, has both labels. Shenemar, pet arecham b'Yisrael. A Yisrael that opened that womb. Ah, chief to rechem Yisrael. As opposed to this case, where she birthed when she was still a goy. We don't reckon with that. In which case, this new child is a Bechor for both purposes. Lo nachla and koyin. Okay, now on to the second category, where you have a Bechor just for Kohen and not Nachla, because again, that relates to whether he's the first to the mother. Misha Hoyloi Bano. Okay, simple case. A fellow has children already, and he married a woman who's birthing for the first time. Okay, pretty simple, straightforward. V'nasa Isha Shelo Yolda. So now this new child is going to be Petarechem, but not Rishis Oinoi, because it's not his first. Next example. You have a guy, you married a guy to, in a Skyrim. Okay, and they both converted. Muberes, while she was still carrying that child, which was conceived while they were both goyim. Or, let's say he was an Eved, married a Shivcha. In a Shtachrim, Muberes, now she was freed while expecting that child. The older now, she gives birth. So, on the one hand, Petarechem be Yisrael. He certainly achieved that status. He's the firstborn Yid here. But it's not Bechor lo nachla. Because who? Who's he inheriting from? This father? This father was... He was conceived while this father was a guy. There's no linkage between the two. A ger doesn't relate to his father a guy. So it happens to be his father was a yid now. Turned a yid. But when he was conceived, when he fathered him, he was still a guy or an abbot. So there's no connection. There's no racial sign there. Third example, let's say you have a full-fledged Yisraelis giving birth, but it was a dark room, and she gave birth together with a kayhenes, a woman kayhen, whose child is exempt from Pidin HaBen. He be kayhenes, he be Leviya, together with a woman Levi. Or he be Isha Shekhar Yoda, or this woman together with another woman who's already a veteran. And now we have two babies, which one is the Bechor? So you have to do Pidin HaBen, on whichever it is. Right, to exempt whichever one it is, but there's no racious aina because none of them have a claim to inheritance since they can't really identify their father. Another example would be v'chein mishaloi shasal achar balo shloshachadosh. We have a woman who did not properly observe that 3-month wait period between marriages. Now she gives birth 7 months into the next marriage. We don't know who the father is. Is it Reuven from the old marriage, 9 months away, or is it Shimon from the second marriage, a 7-month baby? Venissa, she marries Violda, she gives birth 7th month into the second marriage. Venido, it's unknown. Im Ben Tisha Lushin, is he a 9-month Reuven child? Im Ben Shiva Lachman, a 7-month Shimon child? Now, certainly since it's her first, he's a Bechor L'Kayim, but not regarding inheritance, since he can't really identify his father. Veni Bechor L'Nachla. Okay. Turn to Amid Beis. Omar Shmuel. Shmuel is going to give us an interesting halacha, present a statement, which the Gemara will right away counter from the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah we learn that the healthy child that follows the partial birth of a miscarriage of an Nephilim, whose head emerged alive, that head emerging alive constitutes an act of birth. It's considered a fulfillment of Petarechem. And subsequently, the next child will not have that status, since she already experienced a birth. It seems in the Mishnah that even by an unviable child, birthing of the head, which of course is the most important limb in a person, that's where it all happens, it comes from the head, right? So, it's considered a later. Amar Shmuel, that's only by a live child. Ein ha-roish poitev in a fallen. You should know that by a nephil, the emergence of the head has no significance. It's not considered petarechem. When it's a live, healthy child, yes. The head has significance as the primary limb of a person. It's a micro of the whole person, right? But by a nephil, no. Ain Rosh Part bin Afalam. My time. Rashi says, okay, so then what? Yeah. What is it considered later? Roisha Viruba. In the Roisha and most of the body. So most of the antic, but just the head alone, has no value. My time, away. A kolasher nishmas ruach b'chaim ba'apov. We learn kolechad nishmas ruach b'chaim ba'apov. Who do chashiv reishi? So, Pasuk speaking about the, you know, the nostrils, the breathing apparatus. That's only an alive person. Kolechad nishmas ruach b'chaim ba'apov. Who do chashiv reishi? Then the head has importance. But idach, right? So the apav, the head area, that has importance. But idach, otherwise, if he's not a viable child, lo yichashev reishi, his head has no significance over other parts of his body. So basically, you need to have, Rashi says, reishi viruba, it's none. But look at our Mishnah, which seems to give status to the head emerging, even by a nafel, it's none. Haba achar nefalim. Okay, it's a nafel. Shiyotu reishi chai, whose head emerged alive, that constitutes peter rechem. And the next case was a bentisha shiyotu reishi meis, or if he was a viable child whose head came out a full-term offspring whose head came out lifeless. But in any case, in the first of these two cases, what do we see? Ktonimia. At any rate, what do we just learn? What do we just say? Reishi, even by a nafel, emergence of the head is considered. No, my Reisha Rubai. When the Mishnah says Reisha, it meant also most of the entity. Which is exactly like Shmuel. That by an Eiffel, we need Reisha Rubai. Okay, says the Gemara, if you mean Rubai, say it. But listen to Rubai, if the Mishnah meant it, why didn't it say it? It should have. But then with the Ibarra, the Mishnah Rubai, it should have said it that way. The reason why it chose to refer to Reisha, on account of the next halacha, where it makes more sense to say Roshay, to teach us something. Hence the choice of wording. If I did on account the Kabbalah the Mishnah Sefer, the Mishnah intended on continuing to the next variation of this Bentisha, Shiyatza Roshay Meis, the 9-month complete fetus, whose head emerged lifeless, that also is considered a Leda. And the truth is there too, it should have said Rubai. But the reason why it focused on Roshay is to teach us an interesting point, to imply, to infer. Time of the Roshay Meis, the only reason why. The healthy child that follows the 9-month whose head emerged lifeless, that new child afterwards, is considered Bechor only with respect to inheritance regarding his father's issues, but not regarding Peter Rechem, the mother's first. That's only time of the Rosh HaMeis, because the child that preceded him, his head emerged lifeless. So it's considered the mother's firstborn, but not the father's. So the next one gets the father's, you know, that label. HaRosh HaChai, but suppose this 9-month full term emerged with his head alive, then he takes everything. He takes all the labels. The one behind him is nothing. He's not a firstborn in any respect. Haba Achra, the one that follows him, Bechar L'Nachem Nam L'Hab, he's not even a Bechar for the father's issues. You know why? Because the one that preceded him was a full term, my baby. And once his head emerges, halachically, that's considered a birth. So in order to highlight this point, the person chose to make reference to the head. It's the only way really to make this implication. The head dead, but if that would be alive, then he takes all the credit. He takes the Bechor L'Nachal, Bechor L'Kayin. Rashi explains, because if the Mishnah would have started speaking about Roiv or his body, it would indicate that if Roiv of his body comes out alive, then he takes all the credit, but if just his head, then he doesn't, which is untrue. So in order to avoid confusion, we just focus on the head. Roiv Shemes, and the one behind him at least gets the Bechor L'Nachla. Rosh Chai, he takes all the credit, the one behind him gets nothing. So in order to highlight that point, Tana Rosh Nami, Rosh Chai. Mishnah also referred to the head in the first case as well, where it was a non-full term, whose head emerged alive, but in reality that wouldn't be enough. Mishnah really meant Rosh Chai. Okay, so on account of this message that the Mishnah was intending to teach, hence the choice of wording. Now that's assuming the message was important, meaning that the halacha needed to be taught. Which halacha? That when a live head emerges, that baby is considered fully born. Umayka mashma. So what are we teaching? To keep in the mapik libreishe. Once his head emerges, havaleida halachically is considered a birth. Old news! We don't need to learn that here. We already know that. We know that from elsewhere. We know that by Behema, let's say. Tanina. Haitzi Reishai. So here it's about a Behema. His head comes out. That's considered a birth. Haitzi Reishai. Afabishach Zir. Even though the head came back in. Hareza Kiyalad. Considered fully born. So the okay, that's by an animal. Maybe it's a different story. V'chitema, perhaps Ashmina behema, but Kamashon ba'Adam. We need a Mishnah regarding behema, Mishnah regarding Adam, because you can't really learn from one from the other. It's a different system of birth. The Adam behema loyal. Perhaps you can't learn a human from an animal, less like Proizdar, because a behema doesn't have a channel. So as soon as the head comes out, it's visible, it's exposed, as opposed to the Adam, which has to go through a channel. Maybe it's a different. It's not considered born at this early stage. And likewise, Behema mi Adam Layafa, you couldn't learn Behema from the Adam, because perhaps the head is considered a birth by the Adam, should the Chasha parts upon him today, because you know the facial features of a person as Chashivas. Salam Aleikim, right? So maybe once that emerges, he's born, but by an animal, maybe not. Well, Hanami Tanina, says the Gemara. But again, we have another Mishnah. That the emergence of the head by an Adam constitutes birth. Mishnah Nida regarding whether the mother is required to observe the days of Tumah and Tahara. At what point is it considered born? Yatza Kedarkai. Okay, so he comes out usually, you know, regular, his head first. Yatza Rav Roisha, once most of his head emerges, he's considered born. Vezel Rav Roisha, what constitutes most of his head? Mistase Padachta, once his forehead emerges, which is primary feature of his head. Okay, so this halacha has been taught elsewhere. There's no need. So seemingly, there's no need for our Mishnah to go back and reiterate this point. Which, according to Shmuel, influenced and dictated our choice of wording. Tiyufta de Shmuel Tiyufta. You're right. This refutes Shmuel's approach. Clearly, you know, our Mishnah wasn't looking to teach us that halacha. So the choice of wording of the Mishnah was not needed for the implication, for the inference, rather for its own sake. And literally speaking, the Mishnah seems to say, even by a navel, Yitzias HaRosh is a laydown, in contrast to Shmuel, says otherwise. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Lakish, once again, the emergence of the head constitutes birth. Padachas paderas b'chol makom. You should know, once the you know the head, the forehead emerges, it is considered paderas. Paderas like peterechem, the opening of the womb is considered an act of birth. B'chol makom regarding all matters, we'll see later exactly what chutz except for one minanach regarding inheritance. The reason why inheritance is different is because the pasuk relates to the father as being yakir, as recognizing. It needs to be recognition. And just part of his head emerges, it doesn't allow for recognition. So his father's not committed to that child, and he's not going to give him his double inheritance. Okay, so regarding the entitlement of pishnaim, a double inheritance, that's related to yakir. So just partial emergence of the head, you know, the forehead, that's not enough for that. My time, Yaakir, Amar Rachmano, you need Yaakir, you need recognition. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Afilu Nachlo. even the emergence of the forehead is enough to qualify as yakir. You can already have some element of recognition there, and he's entitled to the pishnayim, double inheritance. Now, when Rav Shalkish says that this is considered a birthing experience b'chal makim, for everything, for all matters, l'suyah, what was he relating to? Including what? L'suyah, this tanur rabbanon? To include the following case. Giyaret shiyotza padachas v'lada v'yaysa nachas. So, a woman was contemplating conversion, and she had a partial birth, the emergence of the padachas, while still pre-conversion. And then she converts, and the birth is completed. She doesn't have to observe the days of Tumah Tahara, like a Jewish woman does when she births in her juror status, because the Leida already occurred pre-conversion. Nor does she have to bring a carbon account of birth, because halachically she had already experienced Leida before. Okay, now back to the machlokes. Whether the emergence of the padachas of the forehead qualifies as yakir, does that provide ample, you know, basis for recognition or not? Meisve yakir. The Torah speaks about yakir regarding the bechor, pishnayim, zokar, panim. He's not considered bechor unless you can actually, you know, recognize his face. Veizi yakor as panim. What degree of recognition do we need? Parts of panim imachoitem. The face with the nose. So this seems to support Rish Lakish, that the forehead is not enough. You need much more than that to provide recognition. Let's revise the braisa until the nose, not including the nose. So once the upper part of the head until the nose emerges, that's enough. Toshmai comes another raya. So you have witnesses coming to testify about a husband's demise, to allow the aguna to remarry. How much of him did they have to, you know, recognize? They saw this fellow there from afar. Toshma, Eimid, and they can't testify that a person died. Elo, unless they can testify that they saw al parts of panim achaitim, his face, including the nose. Because the nose is a main feature of a person's face. You have to get to that in order to, you know, confirm identity. Apparently, nose is critical. Once again, we'll revise ad until the nose, not including. That's not really critical, according to Rabbi Yechanan. Tashmai comes another raya, a raya to Rish Lakish. They need that, you know, full face to properly recognize. Tashma padachas by parts of panim. So once again, the Adam trying to allow this woman to remarry. They testify that they noticed his forehead without his face, oy parts upon him b'lay padachos, or his face without the forehead. In Eden, it's not enough to testify. At Yerushalayim, unless you have both, im achoitim, his forehead, his face, with the nose, everything together. By Itamar of Kana, they both explain. Sabai, some say of Kana, provided a pasuk micro. What do we see? They need more than the forehead. Hakoras pneim onsabam. It's by recognizing the face. Face, the whole face with the nose, that provides, you know, identity. Apparently, without the nose, you can't really get to proper identification. Shani edus isha achmir barabonon. You bring a raya from the edus isha where they're allowing her to remarry. Chacham were more strict and they adopted higher standards of recognition. So they require full facial recognition, but when it comes to bechor, partial is enough. Ask Rabbi Yechanan. Says the more, really? Umeachmiru? Do you mean that Chacham or more machmir when it comes to an aguna? If anything, just the opposite. But now we have a Mishnah, Mesechas Yevamos. Chachamim would allow any sort of testimony, even secondhand, even from a fellow who, you know, is not really a fully qualified witness. Huchsukuli is Masim. They established a system where they would allow a woman to remarry based on Eidim P'Eid. Secondhand testimony, aid from another aid, pi isha, heard it from a woman, pi eved from a slave, pi shivcha, maid servants. You see that they're actually more lenient. And you're telling me they're more strict. Says the more, it depends. The information has to be accurate. But the one relaying it, no, will accept it from pretty much anybody. Ki akilu rabbanu b'sofer. It's true, Chacham were lenient regarding accepting it, regarding, you know, the status of the individual conveying it. But tchilasa, initially, meaning, once we have the information, okay, we'll take it from these people. But initially, meaning, the witness, in order to establish himself as a reliable witness, lo yakilu rabbanu, rabbanu would not make all there. You have to come with proper, accurate, verifiable, or I should say, precise information. You can't just suffice with the forehead. You have to come in claiming that you saw him completely, you identify him definitively. Okay. So if you have the information, well, we are willing to take it even from, you know, these quasi-witnesses. But of course, the fellow had to have claimed that he's seen more than just a... Another way to answer this seeming contradiction, when it comes to Eidos Isha, you need a whole face. When it comes to Yakir, we say even partial is enough. Yakir l'chud, Hakaras Panam l'chud. Each one runs its own system. Hakaras Panam, full face, full nose, full everything. But when it comes to Yakir, which is the pasuk by the Bukhar, even partial recognition, partial identity is enough for the father to relate to him and to grant him Pishnah. Okay, so let's do a quick chazara. We have two types of Bechor. Bechor l'nachla, which relates to the father's firstborn. Bechor l'kain, relates to the father's mother's firstborn, Petarechem. Sometimes you can have nachla, not the kain. Sometimes kain, not nachla. Sometimes both together, sometimes none, depending on the situation. The Mishnah covers several examples of the first two categories. Interesting discussion in the Gemara. What constitutes an act of Leda? It's the Roish, or as the Gemara explains, the Padachtoi, which according to Shmuel was only by a live offspring, which the Gemara refuted. Interesting machlokes is regarding Yaker for Pishnayim. How much emergence is needed? Just a regular, standard Leda like other halachas of Leda, that's Rabbi Yechon's approach, or Shalva says a bit more. You have to have the Akaras Panem with the Chaitim for the father to relate to him, identify with him, and to give him the Pishnai. All the best to you and Atzlachar.